Hello, everybody. Hey, how's it going?
Hey,
are we close enough? Can you see us? Last time we felt like our heads were too far apart. Are we close enough to now?
Oh, good. You're close together, which is good. Yeah. Okay,
you see us better? Because last time I felt like we were too far apart.
Come back together. Better for me like that. Yes.
All right. So what we thought about this month doing, if it's okay with you,
yes,
is and this month is NF Awareness Month. Todd, you want to know what that is?
NF Awareness Month is neurofibromatosis. I have that. I inherited that from my father. Unfortunately, I lost my dad at 39. I had a brother that died at 20, and I'm going on 60, and I'm still here.
And also
been an amputee for over 46 years. May 15th will be 46 years.
So we thought if it was okay about with you, since this is Awareness Month, we would talk about NF a little bit. I think you guys have talked about it a little bit over the time period, have you?
We did, but mostly we talked about the amputee thing. And but this, I definitely want to talk about. Todd, you were really not specific about this. And I think this is something, where was that?
He's not necessarily private about it, but it's not like he kind of is public about it either. It's not that, you know, just one of those things he doesn't necessarily wear that on his sleeve that he's NF.
Right. Well, that's interesting because I have bipolar disorder. And
you know what that is.
It goes way back. And I think that maybe we should talk about that at some point in time, too, because most people think it's something they should be very afraid of. And I haven't killed anybody. I haven't even been mean to anybody in my life.
I can imagine.
You know, so it's the same kind of thing. I don't just blurb it out or anything like that. But it's definitely one of those things as well. But Todd, I am very interested in talking about this.
Yeah, so Todd, you explained to Diane what it's called, neurofibromatosis. So this is Neurofibromatosis Awareness Month. Todd's going to make you aware.
I would love that.
Of what it is. So Todd, why don't you explain to her, since you're the expert, what neurofibromatosis is?
It's also known as NF1 or NF2, where tumors grow anywhere inside and outside the body along our nervous system.
We
have a scoliosis, have an older brother and a younger brother that has scoliosis, which curved to the tibia. And later they had to have a Harrington rod put in their spine. And for mine, I had a pseudoarthrosis, which is curved of the tibia. And I broke it when I was 8 years old.
That's why he's an amputee.
No.
That's part of the reason why.
And they tried to save it by putting another rod in my tibia. And in 70, when I was 8 years old, they put some bone graft in from my hip bone, my left hip bone. 4 years later, in 74, they did some more from the hip bone area for the bone we fused together. And a year later, on May 15, 75, they amputated.
They amputated. So that is how that amputation happened.
And my tibia my stump is still curved.
Yeah,
to the right.
He basically became an amputee because of NF, which is not uncommon for people with NF. So did you explain to her how you got NF?
I inherited it from my father. He had NF.
Now, was he also an amputee?
No, but he had a huge grapefruit-sized tumor on the middle of the spine.
So why don't you explain to her about the tumor? That is the earmark of the, actually, not all NF people are amputees, but it does happen. But a lot of them have out of control tumors. And so maybe you can explain to her that's what that is.
It's just where the tumors grow on the end of the nerve tissue.
Okay. Yeah.
So Todd, if you don't want me saying this, Todd has probably hundreds of little tumors that covers his body. A lot of NF people have them on their face. Todd's very fortunate in that area that he's not.
Wow.
But that's sort of the signature trademark of NF. Well, that's the signature trait of NF1.
Right.
Which is what you have. Right, Todd?
Correct.
Yeah. And so the tumors. And when the big one on your dad, explain it to what happened to that.
It just wrapped around his spine and it got to
his
lungs.
That's what
killed him.
And
so I'm passing on.
Some
scientists who believe that when people have later in life pregnancies, that increases your odds of having a lot of problems, actually, but NF is one of them. So like my sister and my brother and brother-in-law's case, she had this child, lives the last one later in life, and he was born like Todd. In fact, he's got a curved tibia also like Todd, but he hasn't had to have an amputation.
How old is he?
He's, I think Caleb is like 16.
Oh my God, he's fortunate.
Yeah. So that's what they call NF1, you know, where these people are born with that. Does that make sense or anything, or does that have any?
No, keep going though, because I'm sure there's so much more to this, obviously, than we've touched on so far.
Well, the other thing is, and that's why they do the Awareness Month, is a lot of people, it's just going to sound strange, but they don't know they have it. There's a fundraiser here in Atlanta that a woman started. Her son, Nate, found out when he was a teenager. He went through all of his life, had this normal life. And then, as you know, we go to these events. Right. I'll tell you. And so if you don't mind me telling about
it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we go to these events. It's called I'm With Nate. And I'll tell you about the charity event because it's a lot of fun. But they we talked to the mother a long time because she knew exactly, she saw Todd and recognized him as NF because she'd seen a lot of the signs. And he said none of his tumors, anything developed till he was like a teenager, and it hit him really hard, and he died in his 20s. And it's like, but he didn't even know he was a teenager. And it's possible if he had known before, maybe there's some things they could have done. So that's why they talk about NF awareness. You know, if you have some of these
Café au lait marks, they call it, is like right. Brown spots on your skin. Like café au lait is French for coffee with cream, like birthmarks. And then sometimes you'll have these little growths like inside or outside your body. Some are hard, some are soft. You know, and it's just.
So I think the idea is that if you get some of these warning signs, like if you're 18 years old and you're getting like café au lait marks like a 70-year-old man, that's not normal, right? You should. And I think this guy just thought, oh, this is just something that will pass, but he didn't. And that's what his mom wanted to make, you know, helps this event, the I'm With Nate event. And so what they do to have fun with it, they have what they call Run With Cupid. So, and everybody comes out on a cold February day and around Valentine's Day, they raise money to run like a mile in their underwear. But it's usually like funny underwear, like they've got weird nightgowns on. It's very tasteful. You know, there's some frat boys that show up that kind of push the limit a little bit. But they, all of these take pledges to run on this cold February day for 1 mile in their underwear to raise money for NF. And this mother, you know, I feel so bad, her name is escaping me right now, but she helped part of this. And I mean, she did a part of it in Atlanta. They do it all over the country now, but the one in Atlanta is kind of dedicated to Nate and his, and so people would be aware of it. So,
and then also is like seizures. It's like about 15 years ago, I started getting the shakes and feeling disconnected. I didn't know what was going on. And then I was working at a restaurant here in Atlanta, and I had a seizure in the kitchen. And they thought I was, just for other reasons.
They thought he was on drugs.
They thought I was on drugs.
And I kept telling him he's not
on
drugs.
And it went back, and it happened again. And then I told them later, and we decided not to go back.
So that's another sign of awareness. One of a lot of NF people have a seizure disorder, like Todd.
And it happened when, 14 years ago? Maybe.
It's around 2007, 2008 when
In my 40s. My mid-40s.
Right. So, but that could happen.
You've had them since then, have you not? Because you mentioned to me, and I didn't follow up with the question because I thought, well, if you want to tell me what those are from, you will. But you did mention those at one point, and you mentioned that I think that you're on disability because of those. Because and I know you were doing work as a waiter.
Right.
Are you still doing that?
No, I'm not. I've been working about 14 years, maybe.
A little less than that.
Yeah. And it's just, and then I had one here Wednesday.
I was here in the
office, and Rick was downstairs, and I fell, and I just, the floor, and my side is still sore from I think I hit the desk.
From falling. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so what Todd, when he first started having them, he had what they would call grand mal seizures.
Yes.
You know what that is? That's right. Yeah. So that's right. What people think of as a seizure, the Hollywood, you know, seizure, everything.
Exactly.
So he started going on medicine called Keppra, which is an anti, very powerful anti-seizure medicine. Since he started on that about 10 years ago, he's had one grand mal seizure since then. But most of them, the ones he had on Wednesday are what they call like aura seizures, where it's like he just kind of, he's spacey enough as it is, so it's hard to tell the difference sometimes. But
unfortunately, Diane, I've always been at home. I had one at the gym, I had one at Publix, I had one at Whole Foods, but fortunately, it's been people that know me. Oh, and I had a couple here at the, I fell on the sidewalk going to the laundry room
right here in the neighborhood,
and I hurt my shoulder, but fortunately, I've always been home.
And I think Terrence, seen him have some at the gym before, you know, he's experienced them, but he's kind of chosen not to barricade himself in, you know, but I will tell you, joking, that he's like a,
you know, we've talked about this before. You live in a neighborhood,
right?
And that is when living in a neighborhood is the most wonderful thing.
My God.
And I know Mark and I have that too. And
that's right.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best being at a point in your life when you have the most wonderful experience of living in a neighborhood. And I don't mean just your immediate neighborhood, but you know the folks at Publix and you know the folks that you work out with. And your world is such that you have the wonderful experience of knowing.
It's like community. Yeah, you have a community.
And Diane, we're in Jesus Junction. There's like three churches around us too, if we decided to go. So I love our neighborhood.
Yes.
And we have La Fonda across the street and a pizza place across the street. And
right.
Y'all are like that too. Y'all are in a place where you can get to everything,
everything,
right?
Is here.
We have the places we love to go, and not all of them are right here. But they are around us here in the Roswell area, not too far away.
You're in the Roswell area.
You know, we are regulars at these particular places. We know our pharmacists really well. We know the cashiers of Publix really well and the guys who stock the shelves.
Right.
And just, you know, we are really into knowing who we see and hear and speak to. And it's just that's who we are.
That makes the difference.
They love that.
Yes.
There's, you know, folks who work at the places where you go absolutely love being friends with the customers and their clients, and that's the best for them.
Right.
You know, that's what makes their day. Yeah. And as clients and shoppers, that's what we love because we're at a point in our lives where that's the best for us too.
Exactly.
It's wonderful. Having your neighborhood is just fabulous. And for someone like you, and for me too, because I, you know, being someone in my shoes, it's the same thing. My life is very dependent on my medications and my physicians, my pharmacists. And it's important for me to be, you know, in the produce section and that sort of thing. And I am really, really, it's really important for me to know my neighbors and my neighborhood and, you know, and the folks who service me. So kind of thing. It's so really, really important.
You're comfortable talking about bipolarism. Then you're not.
Oh, I talk about it all the time.
I think that's great because it demystifies it.
Well, and I used to be, and this, of course, we can talk about more when we talk about a segment on mental health.
Yeah.
And how important it is to know about it, because 20% of the population is mentally ill. Now, who would know that?
A lot.
No one, because no one talks about it. And the majority of that segment will not get help because of stigma.
Stigma is a big thing. Yeah, exactly.
It's a huge thing.
I think that's great that you talk about it because it's helpful. It's healthy. It makes people, because somebody may be struggling with it, you know, and then you talk about it and like, well, she seems like she's okay, you know, and then make people feel safe to come talk about it. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about NF today, because maybe if somebody's experiencing, you know, if you feel like like, well, you bring up mental health. Another signature issue of mental health is people, and if people do have, Todd doesn't like to use it.
They say learning difficulties. No, it's not. It's learning differences.
So a lot of
I comprehend.
That's a great way to put it. Yes, and with Todd's situation, it's on the outside, which can be scary to people.
Exactly. But
with mental health, it's on the inside, which is also scary to people.
Right.
It's just not obvious until someone acts out.
Right.
Or someone stays in and is frightened to go out.
Right. So that's why you have people in your neighborhood that see you and they know you and they're, hey, she's okay and everything.
Yeah.
It kind of reinforces it.
Exactly. And people are always saying to me, I didn't know that. Look at you. You function so, who would know?
Right.
You're the happiest person I know. And I always say
I didn't
to them,
until you mentioned it now, I don't think I even.
No one would. Because I get treated for it.
Right.
I go to doctors.
Because it's a medical condition. Right.
And if you, and I always tell people, if you would do it, you'd be happy too. It's like, take care of yourself.
So when we talk about
bipolar, takes care of himself.
Right. When we talk about bipolar, my mom's bipolar, so we'll have some things to talk about. So I can, because she didn't, she had it before they knew what it was. So she,
you know, and that's a tough thing. And I'm going to share something with you because we can talk about this. I had a brother who unfortunately was unwell before they had ways to really care for it, and he committed suicide.
That happens to a lot of bipolar people, from what I understand, because they feel so isolated.
And they can't, there was nothing to really help them.
Right.
And my thing was, and my sister helped me with this, she helped me find care. And fortunately, I got in on it when they started to really have medications that would work and work well and not be difficult
right.
to handle. And basically, my thing was I couldn't do that to my family after my brother did that.
So sorry about your brother, man. But you hear about that, unfortunately, happening way too often with people.
And, you know, it was horrifying and it was awful, and it's still awful to this day.
Yeah.
So, because you never, ever get over the finality of that. The questions and the wishing that he could have been.
What could you have done? Yeah.
You know, but, and I couldn't do that to my parents and my family. I couldn't let that happen to them again. So I was motivated. But, you know, in Todd's case, that outward manifestation of this disease is hard because people can be frightened by it. It's hard for people to see it.
Tell them a story.
I remember when we were kids in Mississippi, we went to a lake, you know, and my dad had his shirt off, and he had, most of it was bigger. He had one on his back like this. I remember kids walking by and just kind of looking and pointing at him, staring.
Yeah. Well, and wasn't there, you know, so Todd has a lot of friends on Facebook that are NF.
Right.
Didn't you tell me a story?
Oh, sure.
A guy in Texas who had NF, but he had some places on his face.
Was it Reggie, the African-American guy?
And the one who they went pick him up, the Lyft driver went pick him up?
I think so. No, that was someone else on Facebook I met. Yeah. They went out.
So someone on Facebook, he called a Lyft driver. And
he was on one of the talk shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe it was Lyft or Uber. I don't want to pick on one of these guys.
But it was
rideshare. And so they picked him up, and when they saw that he had some distorting tumors on his face,
they drove away.
They just drove away, you know. Because it just scared him. And I thought that's the other thing about NF awareness is to let people know this is not like contagious you can't catch it.
Yes, and see that is, you know, that tends to be something that humans do when they are frightened by something visual, is they tend to back away with fear.
Yeah.
And I think if it is a feeling of, oh, that's contagious, I don't know if that's what it is, or other than just abject fear.
It could be just the fear of the unknown. And that's what
awareness
is about. Talking about it, there's nothing to be afraid of. I know that seizures, because I've researched them, they were until late into the 20th century, about halfway through, people, there was still a lot of scientists who thought you could get them from, if somebody had a seizure, you could get a seizure from looking and from somebody having a seizure. And there was a lot of people with seizures and epilepsy who weren't allowed to have children. Some of them were sterilized, you know, against their will. And this was in the 20th century. We're not talking about the Middle Ages, you know. Right. Some of them were given those crazy, you know, lobotomies that crazy guy did, like, you know, poking the needle up through your eye. And so, because they didn't, you know, they were afraid, like you said, and they thought it was a cure.
Well, think about it. First off, remember Hitler, one of the things that he was doing in The Final Solution was literally taking people and literally just killing them if they had any kind of physical difficulty or abnormality. Now, go back years and remember that people were considered full of demons, or they had a demon if they had anything wrong with them. And go back farther than that or further than that, and they had, you know, they had demons in them, and they were monsters.
That explains why he acts the way he acts. That explains so much. I'm just kidding.
If a person was that different, that they had monsters, and they were unclean.
They were unclean.
So nobody would touch them.
Right.
Remember, they were unclean.
Right.
And you were to be afraid of them because they had a demon, they had a monster, they were monsters. Right. So, you know, humans from the very dawn of time were afraid because of uncleanliness, because they were monsters, because they felt that you could catch something from them.
Because they didn't know, you know, they were unaware.
It's deep inside of our psyche.
Right.
And these things take so long to get out of the gene pool, the fear. But you know what? We can always hope that the latest generation, you know, there's going to be a generational shift at some point because they know, and maybe they'll be less fearful. Maybe they won't be fearful at all when they see these things.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll work itself out of the gene pool. But these things are in the genes.
Yeah,
they're in the genes.
Type of,
you know, but it's also when you look at things like being fear. And this is on nothing at all on the same plane, but it could be along the same line somehow. One time, Mark and I were on the trail, and this young lady was walking along at a frantic pace along the trail. And behind her, probably 10 yards, there was this little tiny little terrier dog who was trotting along, running along behind her. And Mark and I said, "Hey, is this your little dog?" You know, and she said, "No, I'm terrified of dogs." And we said, "The thing is like 6 pounds." Hey. She said, "I know, but I'm terrified of dogs."
It was running from it almost, if it wasn't so sad, it'd be comical. I mean, like, this,
it was. And Mark and I said, "You're kidding, right?" You know, and she goes, I'm just sure, you know. And we're like, "What, you think he's going to kill you?" You know, I mean, we're just, but it's so stupid. But I mean, we can't call her stupid, but for something to be that ingrained in her,
right,
you know, was just absolutely unbelievable.
Crazy. Did she ever, was it a stray dog? Did you ever find that story?
It was some, you know, I'm not
a ferocious beast that got away.
Some kid like 16 years old was down the hill at the river, and the
little ferocious beast got away.
I just want to call him something I shouldn't say. Well, and he didn't have the little thing on a leash, and it had been. So I picked him up and I said, "Mark, I'm not leaving this woods until we find this, you know, otherwise we're taking him home, this cute little thing." But anyway, but I'm just thinking about, the Elephant Man or a character, was that someone with this particular affliction?
It used to be called the Elephant Man's disease.
And remember that movie Cher called Mask with Sam Elliott?
Yes.
And
got
he had NF too.
Yeah, he had the big arm.
He had a really bad.
So Eric Stoltz. That's
The disease, that movie probably was one of the best things for NF because it demystified it a lot. The Elephant Man had NF too, didn't he? Right.
No, he was all, both.
But his face.
His face, yes. Yeah.
It was a sideshow.
Yeah. So a lot of people didn't, and plus it affected his, the tumors affected his breathing because he could, because you know, the apparently in NF, there is an enzyme that your body has been denied that without enzyme, our body is constantly, metabolism is keeping us from having tumors. Well, Todd, in this mutation, it's just one gene that's mutated that his body doesn't have that defense that the rest of us have to cause these tumors to grow.
Right.
And so, and some of them, I mean, Todd's been fortunate, but actually, and we have something that he's going to share with you because he's discovered a little secret about your eating.
I think diet has a lot to do with it. If you eat a clean diet and less fried food and more organic food and more veggies, I've noticed my tumors shrink.
Which doctors freak out about that. Like, well, they're like, that's not possible. Like, well, I've helped him measure it. You know, we've measured him. So Todd would eat like clean, like he would eat no growth hormone foods, all organic.
Fresh veggies.
And so he feels like that has been an important part. I know, if you don't want me telling the story, when we were at one of these NF events, there's a lot of young people there. Todd's usually one of the oldest NF people there.
Yeah.
They live that long. So this girl, she was in her 20s, and we could see that she had NF. And she came up to him. She goes, "How old are you?" And he told her like the time, I think it was his 50s. And she just almost started crying. She goes, I didn't know we could live that long. Yeah, you know. And he said, "Well, let me tell you." He told her about the diet thing that he'd been doing. He'd been eating organic, and she goes, I'm going to start doing that.
The thing is, we avoid food. All our veggies are fresh. Low sodium.
But you think about it. Todd has tumors you can see, and if he eats food with growth hormone and you see the tumors growing, then he stops eating that and they go away. What do you think is happening to the rest of us eating that stuff? I mean, it's affecting us too, right?
Yeah.
But he's been doing this experiment for a long time, and he feels like one of the reasons why his tumors aren't worse, maybe like some of his others, because he's tried to be conscious of what he eats.
Because as kids growing up in Mississippi, we ate a lot of greasy food.
Southern food.
But I've noticed my family still eats that way, but they're overweight, but they don't have an app, but still.
But we thought it was an interesting observation, you know, about eating clean, because he was able to. I mean, we think it helps you. Some people say it does, some it doesn't. But we're like, we've had some physical evidence to support the fact that a lot of the stuff they put in this food, you probably shouldn't be eating.
Okay. Why would you put a growth hormone in a tumor? You can't cook them out.
Right, right. So the growth hormones that you give animals, then you eat that food, then that helps tumors grow. You know,
steroids.
So that's
one. That's a really good point.
People disagree with me, but it's like, okay.
Yeah, some people even will say, doctors, like, well, it's tumor shrink. Though that's not possible. I'm like, we measure. I mean, I'm an engineer. I measure science numbers. I measure. I'm like, how is this? He would have one. I'm like, how is this smaller? And he'd be, I think it's just because I've been eating good, you know? And so, and that's the only thing we can figure out, because they're really not supposed to happen that way, you know? So, so that's one of the things we were going to share about that. The other thing I thought I was going to ask you, have you ever seen anybody have a seizure before?
No, I haven't.
That's what I was going to say, that honestly, I know we were talking earlier about people being scared, but it's scary. I
can only imagine.
I mean, I live with him having seizures. I keep a log of them. You know, I keep a record of what happens at time of day, you know. And I've been doing this for over a decade. And you would think you'd get used to it. But when I was downstairs and I heard him thud, you know, your heart, and you come upstairs and he's kind of out of it. He's a little sweaty. It's a scary thing, you know, for people.
Yes.
And so on the flip side, I can see why people were scared, because it still scares me, you know, and that's why people like to talk about it, you know, that if, you know, it's nothing to be, even though I tell you something.
Well, could it be for you and for others, a feeling of helplessness?
It is a little bit, but you know, there's a, you know, and that's a really good point. Here's the other thing that I was going to share. I was going to share this about Todd because I know he won't, because he's never seen it. But of all the times you've had seizures, I've recorded some freaky things that have happened. Like, I swear, I don't know what you believe about guardian angels or anything.
Oh, yes.
He has had some, like, and this is just one I pull off the top of my head. We have some stairs in our place. They're back here. And I was up here, and I could see him at the top of the stairs, and he started faltering. I said, Todd. So I go running down the stairs, and for a second, he's out of my view. And then I hear thump, 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 thump. And I go, oh, crap, this is it. This is the one. He's broke his neck. But what had happened was he had left an empty jug on the stairs. And how this happened, somehow, that jug had pillowed itself in his head. And when I got down there, his head was just pillowed on the floor, and it had just absorbed the blow and completely protected his head and neck. And I'm like,
whoa.
In a million years, when my head was out of my sight for just a second, I can't even imagine. And that's just one story
that we
got of many. I never ceases to amaze me. I said, Todd, you must have done something right. I don't know.
I'm not an angel.
I don't know, but
well, I don't know what that might be, Todd, but
I don't either. Taryn likes to keep these at about 30 minutes, and we're getting to that. Since we brought up a lot of stream of consciousness of that NF, is there anything we brought up, any questions you have about it? You think people, because we're with it every day, is there any questions that comes to mind about you that you think would be helpful, people would want to know?
I just want to reiterate for just a few minutes, Todd. So your dad had it, and he died at 39?
Correct.
Okay.
Todd's 59.
His most prominent symptoms were the tumors on his back.
It became cancer. Right, correct. Right.
And you had a brother?
Brian.
Had it?
Correct.
And he died at age 8?
20.
20. He died at 20, and his most significant symptoms were?
His was internal. He also had scoliosis.
Okay,
NF2.
Did he end up with lung cancer, too? So I think Brian had... I think, oddly enough, Diane, Brian had NF2. He didn't have any visible tumors. Most of his was internal. So NF2 is more internal. I don't know genetically how that happened, you know, but he didn't have any visible markings like your dad. But I think he ended up with, like, lung cancer, didn't you say? Because he had to go through
lung cancer. Oh, dear.
Yeah. At 19 and 20, you know, you got that.
Is there an age of onset that is the most common age of onset?
That's a good question.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I think there's people older than I am. I think I've seen people in their 70s.
How did you know when you had it, by the way? I've never even asked you that.
And when I was a baby.
Because you're your leg.
And the calf.
Because when you were born, your leg was obviously curved. So he knew immediately. But I guess a lot of people the Nate, the guys referred to earlier, might not know. That's a great question, Diane. I don't know the answer to that. We have to look into that.
Because, you know, from a standpoint of somebody watching for it, it's kind of good to know. For example, when you have your events, it's always good to know if people are interested in watching for it in their children, for example, if they don't have any history of it in their family, or even if they do, what age to keep an eye out for it?
At your birth, I follow other people that say, look for calf lay marks and bone disfigurements. Speech impediments.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes, like learning disability,
learning differences.
Yeah, I actually have a friend who had that. They wanted to have one kid for a long time. When they finally had it, had the boy, they were both very, I mean, I don't mean this bad, but they were both very intelligent people, but he was just always struggling. And it turned out he had NF, you know, that was one of the signature marks. So I guess if you have a child that's struggling really hard, you might want to have it too.
Right. Yeah. Right. Now, are most pediatricians aware of this?
I'm sure all physicians are now.
I think they have to.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Very good. Because I was going to say, for example, with mental health issues have a very definite age window of onset.
Do they really? Like bipolar?
Yes. And
like when? What could that be?
Young males are actually more likely than young females to start showing it. In the age of onset to watch 13 to 23.
Like for bipolar?
For any mental illness.
So it starts with teenagers. And how would you tell with teenage boys? Sometimes they're so crazy. I know we're crazy at teenagers anyway.
No. The signs are very, you would know. Yeah. Believe me, depression to schizophrenia. And the signs are pretty definite. Parents, you know, for parents who really are watching their children and very much into their children, their sons and their daughters. Daughters are the crazy ones, okay?
So
girls, because of girls' hormones and everything, they're actually harder to, you know, to spot. But you can when it's the more severe forms. But
what age group does it hit girls?
Pardon me?
What age group does it hit girls?
It can be the same thing. Can definitely be the same thing. But the boys are, I would say, easier to spot. That's my opinion, because girls are very hormonal.
Right.
But the boys act out more, and the depression is very obvious.
Got it.
Depression is very, and schizophrenia, we have friends right now who did notice the schizophrenia in their child at 15 or 16 in their son. So, and I can tell you more about that. One of the things that I did, because I did come out to, I got involved in mental health organizations for myself, and because my brother had committed suicide, I wanted to get involved with mental health organizations to be someone who came forward and said to others who were going through it acutely, I went and I got involved with groups to say, hey, I just want you to know I'm someone who is involved because I want to be here for you to say, you know what, you can get through this.
Right.
I want to be a role model for you. And so they started sending me out because I was a speaker at the time. They started sending me out to professional groups all over Southern California to speak to them about mental illness and how it can be under control, how to tell amongst their employees, how to be aware of it and also accepting of it. And I spoke to the IRS, I spoke to UPS, I spoke to businesses all over Southern California. And that was my way of giving back. I was not paid for that. So, and I went on television about it.
That's
radio.
Great. You helped bring awareness, is basically what you were doing.
Yes, I was an educator, a mental health educator. That was what I did in my own time, unpaid. And there was a definite need for someone to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on call for the Mental Health Association and the Alliance for the Mentally Ill. And that's what I did for the United Way.
That sounds great. Let's definitely talk about that next time. Can we make that kind
of? Oh, yes, I would love to talk about it. So badly needs to be talked about because it's the hidden illness.
Right. It definitely is because there's no fit, like you said, no physical, to it.
No. Yeah. Now, I would say the pandemic really brought it up.
Really?
All the loneliness, all the people living together, maybe one had it and one didn't, and it became very acute in that situation, particularly if that one was not being treated, and if you were alone and you weren't treated. So the pandemic really brought it out.
Sure, it did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about I know Tara likes to keep these things at a, we're kind of getting
minutes. Oh, yes, yes, I know. So, Todd, thank you for sharing. You know, I didn't realize about this, and I think this was great to find out about it, and I hope you can see more about it in the future, even when we talk about my topic, because there is that fear factor on the part of others, just like there's that fear factor among others toward the mentally ill.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for letting us talk about this today. Because what is NF Awareness? I know it's a month, but there's a day.
Awareness Day is the 17th.
17th of May. Awareness Day. Wear blue and green.
I wish I could say.
I love blue. My favorite
awareness.
You can Google it. There's a lot of information
about
it. I shared
several links. I wish I could share some links on this episode.
When it's done, we'll share this out there. The only thing I think we also found out too is talk about being aware. It's like somebody like you talks about it. I think we found out that Gillian Anderson, you know, the lady who starred in the X-Files.
Oh, yeah, her brother.
Yes.
Yeah, and she's been very actively involved in trying to bring awareness to it also. So it always helps when somebody, you know, talks about it, and people who, you know, or who know other people and kind of influencers kind of bring awareness to it. And so hopefully talking to you today, we just wanted to make you aware of it. Maybe you can help make other people aware of it.
Yeah, we can donate. We can donate to an organization online.
It's Jimmer Foundation.
Yeah, we were talking about that. So you can go. We were saying, what would be some places for people to donate? So we didn't have any right off the top of our head, but I think Todd said, other than the Children's Tumor Foundation.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. You know, it's a great day to go online and say, hey, here's my part.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that would be, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
I'm good.
Good about it.
Sharing your story.
Absolutely. Thank you. This is great, guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right. We're going to sign off then. You guys. All right. Bye, Diane. Bye, Diane. Thank you so much.
Bye, guys.